Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list. Here we go. Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Got to think about this stuff. Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. You just made the list time. It's time for a little therapy session here. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. It's beautiful downtown. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. They are open for business. They are open for lunch. In fact, we just ordered some, and we're excited about that. But now it's time for you to put someone or something on the list. And if I could get to it, because my computer's about to fry.
Mine just went in the bag.
Got a high temp. Got a high temp on the computer.
I mean, it's a little toasty where we are. My computer's saying, you know what, I'm not really happy with you right now. I'm sitting directly in the sun. We've got a $25 gift card to Party Foul on the line. For the best, you just made the list. Okay? So all you have to do is dial the number 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. And that's how you get involved in the show. And we are excited to get you involved. And remember, our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. $25 gift card to Party Foul. Dan Hynote will be at the bottom of the hour.
That's at 12:30.
No, I know. I was like, I got choked up. I was like, Hynote. Dan Hynote, Predators' new assistant coach, will join us at 12:30. Lee Sterling, a brand new segment every Friday at 1 o'clock, starting today with him, where we will go over some of this week's games, and then right after that, we will do pick six. Who would like to begin?
I have a funny one, so.
Well, I will begin by putting myself on the list for being that guy who auto-drafted for my league that I've only been in for like 20-something years. Okay, however long it goes back to when you go on the online for the first time, that's the first year I was in this league. Auto-drafted. Whoops.
You just made the list.
Yeah, that's not list. Good. Not good.
I get what I get. It'll be a great case study to see if I can be competitive. It's only an 18 league. If it was a 14-team league, I would be like, why am I even playing? But we'll see if I – this will be a question. Can a guy who auto-drafted be competitive in an 18 league?
We're going to find out.
I think you can.
We're going to find out.
I haven't seen your roster, so I don't –
I've been scouring the waiver wire already.
All right, here's mine. And please hold your laughter till the end. So you guys, it's no secret. I've brought it up several times that I enjoy iRacing. That since this all began and it got a lot of publicity when there was a pause, I got on there, and Bernard Pollard is a part of it now and several others. The Nashville Speedway, the fairgrounds, is now represented. So I've had a lot of fun on iRacing. And last week I was in the ARCA Menard Series. I was racing at Daytona, and I had put in a lot of seat time to over a weekend to get better. And I was leading. I was up front. I had consistent top five finishes. And so during this particular race, I was out front. I had the lead. There was about seven laps to go. And there was a car that was very all over the place. Made me very nervous. Just swerving in and out and coming very close to hitting me. And we can all talk to each other on the radio. And we're like, hey, and Bernard's in this race, by the way. And we're like, hey, man.
Bernard Pollard.
Yeah. Hey, number 12. You know, be careful now. Don't come down. Got to stay in your lane. And so I'm feeling good. I'm not getting overconfident, but I'm seeing that victory. And guess what happens?
Wreckage.
Number 12 tries to make a move on me, turns me, spins me into everybody. I take out the whole field. This is why I'm upset. It's not necessarily that robbed me of victory. It was the fact that they have a safety rating that they give you after every race that goes into a total, and that helps you get promoted to your next license, your next class. And so you have to have above a 3 when they get to the end of a season to get promoted. I was at like a 3.2 or something like that. This wreck that wasn't my fault cost me a promotion. Like, I got docked like 50 points off my safety rating because I got wrecked. So I was very upset about that. So iRacing, because of that, you just made the list.
Okay, I will let the clip speak for itself. So with that being said, let's play it.
But you're commanding a lot of young men and some older men. And they're all looking to you to be their CEO, to be in charge of the football team. Because of all that, I don't have sympathy for him going public with, I got depressed. I suffered depression early in COVID to the point that I couldn't even go work out. Look, he's the quarterback of America's team. And you know and I know, this sport that you play, it is dog eat dog. It is no compassion, no quarter given on the football field. If you reveal publicly any little weakness, it can affect your team's ability to believe in you in the toughest spot.
Oh, I wanted to hear more.
Do we really need to hear more? I mean, he has put his foot in his mouth 4 times already.
I know, but that's why I wanted to hear more, because it just speaks for itself. That was Skip Bayless on, isn't that what it's called?
FS1, whatever. It is. I don't watch.
Is it Speak for Yourself?
No, that's a different show. Undisputed.
It's Undisputed, but I actually like Speak for Yourself. I think they do. Marcellus Wiley.
Yeah, and Whitlock
LeVar
was
Arrington,
on that. Yeah,
and,
now it's Arrington.
And Macho, is that his name? Macho. I think they do a really good job. The guy that left ESPN and went there. Speak for Yourself, I think, actually is a really good show.
But this is Undisputed.
Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. And that was Skip Bayless talking about Dak Prescott, who came out and said that he suffered depression during this pandemic. And this really goes to what our last discussion piece was, in my opinion. This is right now Skip Bayless saying, man, don't tell us that you're a human being.
Right.
Like, you're a football player. You're a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. We don't want to hear that you're a human being. You have feelings. You have problems. You have issues. You get paid a lot of money to be a quarterback. Man, we don't want to hear about that stuff. That's a sign of weakness. When I heard that clip, and I heard, because it went viral pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
And I played it several times.
It's gone beyond the sports shows.
Yeah. Now, since then, it's gone national. This is just a prime example of what we're talking about. Like, how could you possibly say what Skip Bayless just said?
In 2020. Like, in 1980, I think there was a lot of that way of thinking.
Right, when you weren't allowed to drink water at practice. You know, we go through the whole list, right?
The whole list of things that used to be accepted that are not accepted anymore.
Yeah. Hey, it's just you just got your bell wrong. Get up, you know.
You're all right.
You're running sideways.
How many fingers do I have?
Yeah.
Up?
Oh, you get said up. 8. Yeah. Who cares? Come on, go. Yeah, get back. Right. Like, we get it. In 2020, to really make those comments, I mean, what rock, Skip Bayless, are you living under? I know you make a ton of money. That does not excuse your, oh my goodness. That does not excuse, look at this walker that we've got. Somebody exercising downtown.
Hey, we know that guy.
What is your hat? Burn? Oh, burn, baby, burn, huh?
Durham.
Oh, Durham.
Durham.
I thought it said Durham. Burn. Is that? Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Durham. Adam Vingan.
Hi, Adam.
Strolling down
just
the Mumbrian.
Just exercising,
just
man.
Just taking a stroll.
I should get him to do the Cool Springs MD spot.
He's active.
Talking about weight loss, right?
Yeah.
He's moving. He's active.
I like that.
That's good.
He looks good. Doesn't look too winded. I would be winded.
How do you say that in 2020 on that platform?
You know,
How do you do that?
I thought of, you know, one of the first people I thought of is a guy that was in the Predators organization for a while. He's now the color commentator for the Vancouver Canucks on radio, Corey Hirsch. He's a former goalie. He has poured his heart and soul into mental health for athletes specifically, but for anybody, just the courage to come forward when you are feeling depressed. Like, there has been so much work put into trying to change the stigma of an athlete showing, quote, weakness, opening up about mental health issues, depression,
et cetera. Is it okay when they're post-career? Is it okay then, Skip?
But
because, by the way, it's affected our life here in this market with players that we know.
But it's taken... It's
players,
taken.
Willie, we used to do a show with, it's affected after their life. And unfortunately, it ended their life. Like, really? So, Skip, is it okay post-career to feel that way?
But we're just getting to the point where we're changing it. Like, it took a long time to change the way we feel about concussions and drinking water at practice, all these examples we threw out there. It's taken so much work to get to this point. It's still not... There's still some, you know, people have reservations to come forward and say that. So you got to give Dak Prescott credit for being open and being honest and expressing feelings that thousands and maybe millions of people have gone through on some level during this. But regardless of whether it's because of the COVID, specifically like he was talking about, or just in life, I mean, Skip Bayless is still trying to sing that same song that we're trying to get rid of that song, man. It's different. We learn. We've evolved. You're allowed to have weaknesses. You're allowed to have mental challenges, issues, depression, all of that stuff. People fight that. He's a person. So yep. It's just completely ridiculous on so many levels. Just unbelievable.
It's a good one, Darren.
I didn't think Skip Bayless could get a new ridiculous level.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't listened. I can't listen to him.
You know what the sad part is? He's one of those guys that what he said in that clip, he probably doesn't completely believe.
I don't know. I'm not willing to say that. All I know is my interactions with Skip Bayless in person, which I have met several times, he's as nice as can be.
No question.
As nice as can
be.
But it doesn't excuse it.
Loves Nashville.
Loves
proud
Nashville.
Proud Commodore alum. Loves coming up.
But it doesn't excuse that. And, Chase, I don't know whether he believes it or not. We would like to believe that half the stuff he says he doesn't believe. It doesn't matter. If you say that, I don't care to examine or get to the bottom of whether you meant it or not. You can't say that.
Right. Well, because we know that we live in a world of shock jocks and that, you know, he does fit that mold of...
Well, he's made a career out
right.
of it, which is fine. I'm not envious. Yeah, I'd like to make his paycheck.
But like,
he makes about $7 million a
year. My point is, a lot of those guys, half the stuff they say, they're just saying it just to get.
But to me, you should be even more responsible. You have a high-paying job on a national platform. You should be even more responsible with your words.
Well, what I'm hoping is the backlash is so much that it doesn't have some kid or some person who's sitting there in a locker room saying, you know what, I'm fighting this, man. I'm down. I'm depressed. I need to talk to somebody. If that person sees Skip Bayless and says, oh, man, I better not say anything. That shows a sign of weakness. I can't talk to anybody. Then we failed. If we collectively come forward and shoot this down like we should, this way of thinking, then hopefully that will have more people that are in that because they're out there, right? There's a lot of people hurting for one reason or another that are fighting it, that need to start the process by asking for help. That's what I worry about with this. I'm hoping this is an agent to bring it forward more because Skip Bayless is so out of line here.
Yeah.
But
that
stigma's still out there. I'm showing weakness by...
Do we have participation
today? We do.
I mean, I'd like to avoid... There's so much out there.
We're here.
I'd like to avoid the speech, but... Okay, so you've got the screen.
I got
nothing in front of me. My computer is shut down. We have no screener. I'm just going to let you bring in the
Predators case. Assistant coach Dan Hynote joining us in about 12 minutes or so. Let's go to Jeremy. Jeremy, who's on your list?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're doing well.
Good. So Willie, I'm going to have to put you on the halfway list.
The halfway list. Okay.
You just made the list.
Because I agree with like 99% of what you're saying about the fans who gripe about, you know, like the whole shut up and dribble thing. For me, I only want them to hush while they're playing the game. any other time. We want them out in our community. We want them doing the good things. I'm just, for me, it's just while the game is going on, I don't really want to hear about the politics.
I don't think that's directed at Willie. I think you're directing that at me. I think.
Oh, yes.
Well, I think we all.
I am.
But was it during the game? It was before the game. Was it?
That was before the game, but still.
Oh, see, that is absolutely fine with me, and I don't understand why it wouldn't be fine with anybody else.
Well, I'm confused, Jeremy. Are you upset? Or are you not upset?
I'm not upset that they had their moment of unity at all.
Okay.
The only thing that I'm upset about, and I think most people are upset about, is just the politics going on during the game. At that point, we just kind of want to dead our heads and watch the game and not really think about anything but what's going on the court or the field or the diamonds, whichever you prefer.
Well, this was not during the game. This was pregame. So
now that should be fine, and I don't understand why anybody would boo that. That's just ridiculous. And that's why I have list, because, like I said, 99% of what you said I do agree with on. And just it's just that little space between when the buzzer goes off or the whistle goes off that we really kind of want to dead ourselves to everything, all the political stuff. Everything is so political nowadays.
Okay, so is that directed at Willie or is that directed at me? I don't know who officially.
We're on the half list.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Are we both on the? So you got a half. I got a half.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the half list, but Jeremy, you said you agree with 99%. So we're on the 1% list, I guess.
Yes, you're on the 1% list.
We're on the 1% list. Okay.
Okay.
We can live with that. We can figure that out.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Nate W. Nate W. Who's on
Nate
your
Washington.
List? Yes, Nate Washington. Who's on your list?
I'm afraid Nate Washington has just left the building.
Okay, he's off.
Man.
Let's go to Nate. Nate, who's on your list?
So, who is on my list today is the person or people that, I guess you can say, schedules the commercials in the system. They have the worst timing, because usually when, and I understand the station wants more participation with interaction and everything, but when they put the call now or text, the number now, it's usually right before an interview where you cannot call or text.
Okay, that's Ryan Porth. He's the program director at Porth Game on Twitter. Take your list to him, Nate.
All right, then Ryan is on my list.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
You just made the list.
Where'd my bus go that I just ran Ryan over with?
Boop, 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 boop.
Thanks, Nate.
Guys.
Real quick, let's go to Greg. Greg, who's on your list?
The NBC Sports is on my list.
You just made the list.
Monday was a holiday. Everybody was home. I'm get ready to sit down and watch the first game of the Western Conference Final, thinking, you know what, this is an important game. It's a holiday. It's going to be on the network. I slip it on Channel 4, and what do I see? American Ninja Warrior. I'm like, seriously? You've got adult Double Dare on the network when you got your professional sports franchise, league that they're only on your network. You're going to ship them to the cable version on a holiday?
Yep.
Seriously. So they made my list because.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want them on the mothership.
Exactly.
The conference final.
That's fine.
Exactly. Fair request.
That's fair. That's fair.
We back you up on that.
Yeah. All right.
You
thank you.
You just made the list.
Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025.
Kevin, who's on your list?
Hey guys, this is kind of a layup, but I'm going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs fans last night.
You just made the list.
Yeah, I mean, we went to my sister and brother-in-law and I went to the championship game in January at Arrowhead Stadium, and I'm not really surprised. And I'll tell you why. I think it's the culture, the culture of the fans in Kansas City. I think they're a lot more blue collar. They're a lot more passionate. than what we're used to, and there's a lot of alcohol, a lot of drinking, a lot of tailgating, and it's a tribal atmosphere. And all it takes is a few of them to start booing, and you know their judgment's a little lax, of course, with all the alcohol, and they just it just follows suit. I mean, you see nothing but red in the stand, like we did in the championship game, and it was rough. I'll tell you, when we went to the game, my brother-in-law had beer thrown on him, and we were ridiculed the whole game. That's a tough crowd. It really passes, but. Still,
somebody actually threw a beer on
because
your brother-in-law?
Because he was wearing a Titans jersey or what? What happened?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Of course, he never saw who did it, but I think it's after we scored the first half, one of our touchdowns. And but anyway, yeah, that to me has more to do with it than anything. It's just a very tribal atmosphere in Kansas City at Arrowhead. The fans are really, they're really vocal. They're really passionate. They're blue-collar. You know, let's face it, they're not happy being Super Bowl champs and then having only 17,000 people at the stadium. You know, they wanted this to be their coming out party after winning the Super Bowl. And you know, they're just very, very passionate. And
so they drink it. They drink at Arrowhead?
A lot.
Can't confirm.
A lot.
I've actually seen that. By the way, it's cold, too, that time of year. And they may be putting stuff, some fuel in their body to keep them warm. I've been to those games. Or I saw the Titans in, I guess, 2010 in December. And it was like 5 degrees. Let me tell you, they know what a tailgate party looks like in Kansas City.
Where we had to park at the AFC Championship game, we had to wade through those tailgates. Floyd and I had a strategy that any time a drunk guy came at us, we just pushed Jared in front of us and let Jared deal with it. But I think it was a good strategy, but we did have to go through some tailgates. It was something. They were having a good time. I have a text that I need to read real fast from Ryan, from our program director.
Oh.
Quote:
Was he texting on our text line?
He was.
Or was he using the back door, the personal?
He was using
was
the
this
personal
on the,
text,
the red phone? This is the hotline.
Yeah, it's the hotline.
Okay.
Quote: It's not always into a guest, Nate. In fact, Nate, it's rarely going into a guest.
Ooh, some frustration.
Wow.
Some frustration.
A little tension there.
Some pushback.
A little rebuttal. A little.
Struck a chord.
Yeah. Defense. That was defense mechanism right there.
A little bit.
Like, kind of bowed up a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay.
There we
pushback.
Go. Those are our calls. That's our list today. I hope everybody feels better.
we ended on a high note.
The list.
Did we?
Oh, I see what you did there.
He has no idea what he did, but he did it. He should have owned it, but he didn't. Because the look on his face was, oh, yeah, yeah. Dan Hynote. Next on Darren, Donnick, and Chase.
Brass Bonanza, ladies and gentlemen.
Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. We're live at Pete Terry's Tavern.
Pete
Beautiful
Weber is dancing.
Hey, and you know what? We play a little more of the Brass Bonanza when you're at Pete and Terry's. I mean, this is the Pete Weber theme song. And it's become the Terry Crisp theme song. It's become an anthem that you hear. We've sort of semi-adopted this song.
A lot of people tell Alexa to do a lot of things. This is what Pete tells Alexa to do.
No doubt.
Without a doubt.
I mean, there have been many a plane ride, and our next guest... Of course, the media is separate now from the team on the bus, but Pete has more than once on a late night arrival, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. at the next city. You might hear the Brass Bonanza coming up from the back of the bus from Pete's phone. He's got it ready to go.
Let's see if our next guest can confirm or deny that is true. Predators' new assistant, Dan Hynote, is on the line with us. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this. Can you confirm Pete Weber and his love of Brass Bonanza?
I um,
I plead the fifth on all that. You know, I'm just dipping. I'm not here to make enemies on my day. I'm day one. You know?
Well, Dan will learn soon enough, I would say. He has not worked with Pete, I don't think, before. But it'll happen in time, Dan. You'll know what we're talking about.
Oh, the picture will become very, very clear. You know, speaking of the picture, Elliot Freeman joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. And yesterday when we had him on, we told him that you were going to be joining us today on the show. And he wanted us to ask why you're not an FBI agent. Why did you decide to become, you know, an assistant coach?
Tell
him,
just in case Dan's memory needs to be jarred, I guess it was a Stanley Cup final, I think, for Colorado. And he said there was something like that, a big national question that came up. And somewhere along the line, you expressed maybe some interest in doing that down the road. This
first,
of course, while you were still playing.
I was going to say, let's ask, is that good information, or was that bad info we got?
Yeah, no, actually, that's 100% true. In fact, that's how I ended up at West Point, was because I wanted to be in the FBI, and then, you know, Colorado went and ruined that dream for me. and truth be told, I had a really good relationship with the FBI guys in Colorado. I used to visit the office and whatnot, and then when I retired, I went back in to see if, you know, hey, you know, if that was a possibility, and, you know, being a government job and me being older, you know, they just didn't think it was a good opportunity for them anymore, because, you know, they're going to hire the youngest guy because you can only work so long in that field. So it doesn't make sense to hire an old guy that's basically limping out of bed in the morning. So yeah, Colorado ruined that for me.
Good answer. Watching from afar, when you look at this Predators team, give us what you think you've signed up for, Dan.
Oh, you know what? I'm very, very lucky to be part of the organization as a whole, but also, like, the team for me is prime, right? Like, it's kind of like the early exit. I look at Tampa and, you know, kind of what they're doing now after the upset. You know, you get you know, that humility in the off season that fires you up, and lessons learned, you know, from underachieving, I guess, if you'd call it that, in the playoffs. And that's kind of what I see here. With the ball of clay is fantastic. There's a great base, you know, a great system in place, with Coach Hines. And so I see sky's the limit, you know, walking in here.
John Hines' message when he came on board midway through the season last year, Dan, it was very consistent. There's no doubt about that. But he was constantly talking about the right mindset you need night in and night out at this level, you know, to achieve the things you want to achieve. And, of course, that was kind of like the theme, and it had us perplexed because this was a veteran group. This is a group that's been through all the battles, the long seasons, the long runs in the playoffs, and they were – we thought battle-tested, but yet he was basically testing that mindset. It seemed like an issue for him. Talk about what it takes. You understand. You played the game. You understand the mindset, the grit, the dirty stuff you have to do, stick your nose in the tough areas, things you have to do around the net. It's more than just your skill set. At least that's what we took from it. What do you take from those comments?
Yeah, I mean, he's 1,000% right, and this happens a lot in the NHL with teams that have really good success but don't quite get to the top of the mountain. There gets to be, you know, there's some complacency there where, you know, the die has been cast, everybody's kind of in their position. There's not a lot of pushback maybe in certain positions for the power play or maybe up the middle or wherever, and guys can get, you know, complacent. And I'm not saying that that's the case here. I just know that that's a thing. And you know, I was walking around the dressing room and the Bridgestone Arena and the practice facility, and there's a lot of embrace the grind, and that's perfect because that's what the NHL is. And, you know, it's a just as much of a mental battle as it is a physical battle. And if you're not willing to every day, you know, look in the mirror and try and move the ball forward, then you're stagnant, and teams are passing you, individuals are passing you, and you're not getting better. You know, so that's the kind of mindset that you have to have in the NHL is that growth mindset. I talked earlier today about how in Colorado I learned real quick in that dressing room we would be up 3-1, for instance, in the after the second to come in the dressing room, and guys would be, you know, yelling at each other and fighting because we just weren't playing good enough. You know, the standards have to be so high. You have to expect to win every single night, and you have to push your teammates, you know, to get there sometimes. And that was a great lesson for me as a young player because hey guys, we're up 3-1. Like what's that wasn't good enough. They wanted to be playing at the highest level all the time. And when guys weren't, they got called out. So it was great because guys kept each other accountable, but it also helped the team get over that hump of the, you know, losing in the conference finals or wherever. Right. So that's kind of what, you know, that this team needs a little bit of, I think, in that sense, where we have a heck of a lineup. Like, there's no reason that we shouldn't be at, you know, on top of the league or damn near if we're willing to push each other and kind of and get past this, well, we're just okay. We're going to be great. And once the guys buy into that, I think you're going to see them take off.
We're talking to Dan Hynote, newly hired assistant coach for the Nashville Predators. And, Dan, you just laid out some great experiences you've had as a former player on some excellent teams. And I'm curious, you know, with your role on this staff, the thing that you've learned the most, because you've been behind an NHL bench in Columbus for a long time, what did you find your greatest asset was as a former player talking to current players? Because they can certainly relate to you having been through all the battles you've been to.
Yeah, I mean, with the Grinders, you know, it's easy because that was the role I played, and I can kind of, you know, pull some of my personal adventures into the equation, and you know, here's what I did, here's what Sean Podine did, here's what Dave Reed did, you know, so on and so forth. And then when you're talking to the upper echelon, you know, type player, then I can use the resources of Forsberg, Kariya, Sakic, and what they did, and you know, or Rob Blake and Ray Bourque, and you know, so on, or Patrick Waugh, even, you know, and talking to the goalies. So, you know, those experiences, and especially with names that they recognize, they go a long way, you know. And it's funny because, you know, coming from the program, when you mention these names, basically as soon as you do, anything you say beyond that is gold, because they're just instantly bought in because of who you're referencing. And I think that still holds true in the NHL. You know, and you never want to be that old guy that's like, oh, back when I played, you know, it's not like that.
Right.
You're just trying to get on their level, right? Like I can't dangle. I can't do the things that Joey can do or Dutchie, you know, or Forsberg, but I played with guys that could, and I learned a lot from those guys and their habits and how they got from A to B. And if I can impart some of that into their game, then they'll benefit from it.
You just touched on Ryan Johansson. He's a guy that you go way back with. You saw him as a very young player in the league. He went through a really interesting process this year where he did not have a great season. He knew it. Everybody knew it. He faced it. And during the time where the team was starting to come back, he really was open about it, discussed how he went through the process, and showed a lot of maturity, came out and played really well in the series, as you know. But what is that perspective of knowing a guy when he's just coming in, knowing his roots and everything? How will that help you try to bring out the best in him going forward?
Well, I think there's a good base of trust there because of our past experiences. I love Joey as a kid, and I really love what he can be as a player. I think there's so much left to unearth in his game. He can dominate. Like when he's consistent and when he's working hard and he's, you know, putting his nose in the right type of areas, there's not a whole lot of people that can compete with him at his size. So I've seen it. I know it's been here. I watched it, you know, in the playoffs here. He was awesome when everybody came back. And that was great to see, right? And that's what says a lot about his character after the year he had to come back that strong, and have the performance that he did in that whole line, for instance. But yeah, I think our path together, you know, there's a shared trust there. And to me, that's the most important part of the business now, is these players have to trust that you have their best interest at heart and that you know what you're talking about. And when he came into the league, he was, you know, as raw as you can be. but he had the makings of a number one center, and he obviously has turned himself into that, and now he's ready to, I think he's ready to make that next step, to the elite level, and I'm pumped to be a part of it.
Dan, I don't think you'll be surprised at this. I saw that you were hired. I texted our colleague Chris Mason, who we've all become very close with over time here, very popular. He came back with this booming endorsement of you and your time with him in St. Louis. And, of course, he went public with it on social media not long after that. Give us your fun memories of playing with him in St. Louis. As we know, we all think the world of Mace.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that if he's saying good things about you, it's kind of embarrassing because he's a crazy person. But, no, he's one of my all-time favorites. There's millions of stories, but it was funny. Our St. Louis team was a bunch of misfits, and we all became really close and ended up having really good success with an underachieving team, I guess you would say. But he and I and Jay McKee would team up on those PlayStation portable games and. And we played these war games, and we had nicknames, and it ended up being the reason that our team came together. But I know he'll dispute this, and as will Jay. But I was clearly the best player in that game series. He was probably third, I'd say, behind Jay McKee. But yeah, we would sit on the bus, and we would just be talking smack to the guys in the back, and he was always at the forefront. Of all the smack talking, as you can imagine, but yeah, we spent lots of time together. One of my favorite teammates of all time, and one of the funniest people that I've played with.
We're talking to Dan Hynote, new assistant coach for the Nashville Predators, and kind of along those lines of like your relationship with Mace or some other players that you played with, Paul Kariya, Peter Forsberg, that all played in Nashville, and you played against Nashville in the early days when it was very different. It was still a new team that was trying to establish and find its place in this league. What was it like from your perspective to whether you'd come play here at Bridgestone Arena when you were with Colorado or with the Blues, and now to be a part of this organization and just see how far it's come?
Well, in the old, obviously what they put together here is special. You know, Mr. Poile and his longevity and everything that he's done here has put this organization on top of the league in regards to reputation and organizations you want to play for and work for. So, a great testament, to him and his staff throughout the years. But it was a nightmare to come into Bridgestone and play back in those days. I mean, you had 2-2 running around. You had a bunch of other guys that could fight, and the crowd was crazy. You got Tim McGraw and a couple, Vince Gill and all these guys in the stands mocking you, which, that hurt, because they're your heroes. But there, it was awesome. I loved coming into here. And you knew you were going to be sore after the game and your ears would be ringing from the crowd, but you were always in one. And now to be on this side of it, I'm so excited because I used to hate coming in there for that reason. Now I'm going to love it.
One thing David Poile said at the end of the season was that, as he tries to construct this roster, that there could be an influx of some younger players that have been developing in Milwaukee, whether it's an Eli Tolvanen or Rem Pitlick or some of these young guys that we've only gotten a glimpse at. You have experience of working with Team USA, and I know it was under 17, but you have experience developing younger players. So how will that skill set help you as some of these young guys join the Predators roster?
Oh, it'll be very important. And I'm very fortunate to have gone through that process because now I have a much better understanding of the young player and what they need and what they need to hear and how to say it. I mean, they're all individually different, and you got to figure out what buttons to push. But there's a certain language that comes, with these new players under 24. And you got to know how to speak it because they need to trust you in order for them to kind of buy into what you're saying. And you got to build that relationship first before they'll start doing what you ask. So having that knowledge and understanding, kind of even the vernacular is different, Fortnite and all these other things that we didn't, have at our disposal, you have to understand what they're talking about, you know, and you got to find your common ground, whatever that may be. So coming from the program will help a ton, you know, with guys like Fabro, Tolvanen, Tomasino, you know, guys that are going to be breaking in the league. They, both on the ice and off the ice, I've had, you know, thousands of hours now training kids exactly like them, you know, so I'm really looking forward to making an impact on those guys.
Yeah, it is interesting that you bring that up, Dan, because we've talked to many coaches over the years in various sports that say that their coaching style has had to change because of what you just mentioned, that now you know, there was a time where in a meeting room you'd want cell phones put away, didn't need any of that stuff, but now you have to allow these guys to kind of step away, have a break, get on Twitter, text their friends or what have you. So how have you seen that from going from your playing days of how it was with you guys to adapting into that, like you were just kind of talking about with these younger guys?
Yeah, I think it's a big challenge trying to get guys to get to be tight, right? Like there's such a big disconnect now, I think, between the veterans and the, you know, the guys with three kids at home and the young player coming up. Not only in an age gap, you know, in the old days, a young player was 22. 23, you know, now you get them at 19, 18, 19, you know, whatever. And you know, they don't have any clue what it's like to be a pro or what it's like to go home to two kids at the end of the day. And, you know, they go home, they jump on their Xbox or PlayStation and then, you know, they have dinner and go to bed. So there's not a lot of team dinners and there's not a lot of team outings like there used to be. But that can be fixed, right? Like that's just bridging the gap and providing them with opportunities to become closer. And that's our job. That's our job, to kind of put them in the right position to become close. And, you know, sometimes it's a whisper in the air. Some, you know, the guy like Bonino, he'll have a great idea on how to bring, you know, a group like this together because he's been there, done that. And so, you know, we'll have to lean on him to try and rally this crew, you know, Yossi and Ellis and the other leaders as well. You know, you have to kind of do the extra work that the old guys back in the day didn't have to, because it was just built in. There, you know, gaming wasn't as big of a thing. So guys after practice would go have lunch together and then maybe dinner together. And, you know, on the road, it was the same thing. And nowadays, everybody kind of splits off into their own cliques. And it's, like I said, it's up to the leadership group and us to help make sure that this team comes together and becomes close. And that can be, that'll be the challenge. So that's something that, you know, we've talked about, and certainly I know the leadership group has talked about as well. So that'll be the key, I think.
Well, Dan, we appreciate the time today. It's good to talk to you, and we can't wait to meet you in person whenever that day comes. But welcome to Nashville, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds great, and don't believe all the stories that Mason tells you.
Okay, we'll have to cross-check that. We'll cross-check that with you, Dan, when we get to meet face-to-face.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Dan Hynote, new assistant coach for the Nashville Predators. Pick 6 coming up at 1:15, but Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports will get you ready for the gambling weekend at 1 o'clock. We'll do that next, or we'll do that at 1. More coming on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. As I put the toasty headset on, it is toasty.
The black headset outside in the sun can definitely get a little warm.
Woo!
When you put it down for the 3-minute break.
Luckily, you can sit in the shade at Pete and Terry's.
Oh, yeah.
Pete and Terry's Tavern is back open. People have been enjoying some good lunches today. We've enjoyed a good lunch today. Just around the corner, Lee Sterling, our first installment with him. He will be every Friday at 1 o'clock with us on this program. He's going to tell us what games we need to be looking at this weekend. If you're doing a little action out
there. If you're dabbling.
If you're doing a little dabbling.
Just a little.
Just looking for something that looks attractive.
Or just for fun, for your pools.
Well,
for your,
you know, well office there pools. Is. Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, there's that.
Well, let's just say good. I had a good night last night.
Yeah, the
I'm ready,
chefs.
For a good weekend. I did.
By the way, I will say this, and if Tim calls me out or calls us out on Wednesday, I will fall on the sword. I looked. I don't think I have. I do not have ACC Network.
Oh, really?
I thought I did. I have Pac-12 Network.
Okay.
Well, that does me a lot of good.
Well,
I saw
a flash of a highlight of that game.
So
Miami against UAB,
anything.
And I was like, oh, no.
I didn't
I
see.
I forgot to flip over because I did mean to do that. I wanted to listen to it a little bit.
I actively looked for it, and I've got voice remote.
And
so I was like, ACC Network. You know, and I tried UAB, Miami, Florida. Yeah,
you getting
like,
crickets?
It was like, yeah, I got nothing.
So
for you.
I did.
It literally said, "I got nothing for you."
I can't find that game.
I didn't think I had it, and then I had it.
Well, if you have ESPN Plus, you have it, right? You can pull it up on your screen
on YouTube TV.
And I'm talking about on your
on the television on the boot
okay.
tube.
Yeah, but see, I have YouTube.
But
TV.
You have it right, which you have, as Willie said, ESPN Plus. So that's probably
right, but with you, ESPN Plus and YouTube TV are two separate things. On YouTube TV, it's just like it's cord cutting, but it's TV. You have a lineup, and so there's a guide and everything.
Okay.
And they just did an update. They added NFL Network, and so I refreshed, scrolled through my channels. I'm like, oh, ACC Network. I get that too.
Hmm.
So
I don't have it.
I'm still old school. I feel like
rabbit
I need
ears?
To get into this world. No, not rabbit ears, but I'm old school. I got the satellite. I get all the channels. I don't need all the channels, but I get all the channels. And
did you eliminate some of the boxes we talked
I
about?
I did. I eliminated a box.
See, that's key. Like you can,
and
do...
I got the fiber as a thing.
Yeah. You so did. Yeah. And it has made a world
made
of difference.
A world of difference. Yeah.
We're not talking
new,
over each other
We're in a
brand
new world. We're in a brand new world. No delay. That? We're good.
Yeah.
But I have contemplated the you know, streamlining, you know, the YouTube, the different ways. There's a lot of different ways you can get games now and still get your sports fixed. You know, there's a long list. We won't name them all, but you don't have to do the traditional way. I am a traditionalist still, and I probably ought to look into, can I get the games I need to get?
Well, you're just taking baby steps. I've been
taking
baby steps. You're taking baby steps. We'll eventually get there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. By the way, last night, we talked about this with Elliot Friedman yesterday. How about the win by Dallas? Huh?
Well,
and if you
I was
blinked
impressed.
In overtime, you missed the game-winning goal.
I was impressed.
Whom?
Mr. Radulov.
Radulov.
Mr. Radulov.
Rubles.
Give me my rubles.
He has been the money man for them.
He has.
Pass
done
the
great.
Vodka and pass the bag of rubles.
I still...
That was terrible.
I still have
that
not.
That was absolutely terrible.
I still have not forgiven, really, the league. It's one thing for Rads to do what he did, and I was disappointed. But in the years to follow, we didn't know anything about the KHL back then. The KHL had never played a game.
Right.
There were this league that was forming. What? He's leaving? He's going where?
They were like the USFL. They were just throwing bags of money
at
players and going, hey, come play
come
here.
You're under contract with Nashville?
We'll
that's
pay
all right.
you all
just
kinds of
here.
Money.
What are they going to do? Just come over.
We won't honor it, but hey, we'll sign you to a big contract.
So for those that don't know, Alexander Radulov was a first-round pick for the Predators. He was playing very well. He was just coming into his own. He was in his low 20s. And he bolted for the brand-new KHL. And what was complicated is they didn't get any compensation for him.
Nope.
You know, they had no choice. So they just had to wait it out for years, and then he finally did come back and play at the end of the 2012 season, played in the playoffs, made a contribution.
Yeah,
I don't know if they beat the Red Wings in the first round without him.
Oh, he made several contributions.
And
City
in the second
Scottsdale,
round, he
really.
Made some other contributions.
Yeah, some contributions.
It didn't go very well. We know the story. And then he bolted. And then it was just, you didn't get anything.
Just for the record, I was completely, in a very slim minority is what it felt like, completely against bringing him back.
Do you know?
I felt like I was in the very small minority that felt that
I was
way.
Like, let's go.
Everybody else was like, Rad,
we had
Rads,
we had Rad Watch.
We had Rad Watch.
Well, so my first job with Predators Radio was going to his press
going
conference.
Going to the KHL?
Yeah, going to the KHL and
picking him up at the airport.
Yep. It was a little scary. But like the umbrella.
We've got some umbrella issues.
We have a malfunction. We'll have to talk about that in a minute. But finish your thought on your rookie year. This is your rookie year.
This is my rookie year. This is
we
my
had
first
Rad
game.
Watch. Rads comes back
from
the KHL to join the Predators for the stretch run after they had already traded for like three guys, including Hal Gill, but two other forwards like Andre Kostitsyn. Yep. They had a very crowded house, and that was the problem.
Yeah, and so I came down here, and it was his his first morning skate, I think it was, in practice, and that was my first thing with the game, and it was Radulov and interviewing Radulov. So
it wasn't dull.
It wasn't dull. It was not.
But the guys still get it done, and the Stars impressively lead the series.
Nice win. 2-1. Guess they're not going to go away quietly.
They're not going away quietly, and
they got roughed up in game two. Nice bounce back in game three.
Very nice bounce. So they've won two razor's edge tight games.
Yep.
Vegas has won in one blowout. I feel like this one's going pretty deep.
Yep.
Vanderbilt will have something back.
Vanderbilt has announced that all fall sports will be held without fans at home events through October.
Through October.
Yep. Okay, that's the first deadline we've seen of that, through October. But they don't start till towards the end of September. So
right.
That wouldn't cover a lot of games.
Yep.
They don't even have a home game until October, right? Yeah, sometime in October.
But I think the soccer team is playing.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's not just
football, I don't know if there's any other team sports that are going besides in the fall, besides soccer and football.
All right, we'll come back. Lee Sterling on the other side, and then pick six right after that. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase on this beautiful Friday afternoon, ESPN 102.5 The Game.